Just a moment to make sure you guys are recording this, you said, right? So are there restrictions of where I can walk? No? Okay, cool. So I believe, young man, you said I could ask you a question. Sir? You said I could ask you a question, right? What about you guys? Okay, I can ask all of you this question. When did God's relationship with you begin? No.
Yeah, well, I don't really know
what that is. Well, that's okay. That's all right. I don't expect you to know the answer. Anybody else want to answer? Go ahead. Nope. Nope. Okay. So we've already had when you got born, those kind of things. So I'll ask in general. So I'm not giving you the answer right away, but I just want you thinking about it, just for a moment, okay? When did God's relationship with you begin? When you accepted him as a Savior? Nope.
Wait, I think I know.
Oh, good. When before you were born?
Like, before you went out of
the mom's belly. Okay. When you were conceived, right? I think that's what you're trying to say. Nope. Wrong. Good try. See, because she's referring to Psalm 51, and sin did my mother conceive me. So she clearly remembering Psalm 51. Just say yes. Right? You were thinking of that, right? Okay. I kept trying to give her clues. It didn't work. But I want you thinking about that as we're gathered here today. Okay. But this is how I preach, what seems disconnected. Okay. So you got the ascension that happens in a week and a half. The 29th, Pastor Ash and I double-checked to see when that happens. It always happens on a Thursday. Apparently it was a Thursday, and over 120 people had gathered around Christ. All right up there. But, you know, all of his disciples asked him a question before he left. Are you now going to restore the kingdom of God? In other words, are you now going to usurp your authority? And are you going to demonstrate it? Are we going to get to sit on your right hand and your left hand? And, of course, Jesus says, well, the time of the hour is not for you to know, yada, yada, yada. I believe, though, what he really says is that, well, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to all the ends of the earth. And then this curious moment happens. Now, keep in mind, there's only, according to the scriptures, only 120 people here that the church itself will come from. 120 people. And so out of these 120 people, one of the disciples gets up and says, I believe it's Peter, says, oh, by the way, we've got to replace Judas, who betrayed Christ and hung himself. So we are going to replace them by casting lots. So the natural question I would ask next is, how many here play Dungeons and Dragons? Okay. You play Dungeons and Dragons too? Cool. All right, so do I. For those of you who don't know, wondering why in the world I'd be asking you to play Dungeons and Dragons, how many dice do you have? Too many. That is the correct answer. And you're going to get more, right? Because we love dice. Dice of, you know, 20-sided. I have a 30-sided, by the way. Have you ever seen a 30-sided? Yeah, okay. 100-sided. Do you have 100-sided dice? No? Okay. So lots are a lot like rolling dice. And so there are two people. Well, I'll ask you young kids again. Who are the two people that the disciples said were with Jesus from his baptism all the way to his ascension? Two people out of the 120. Matthias and Barabbas, also known as Justice. And they cast lots. And it falls on Matthias. And Barabbas is never mentioned again, or justice is never mentioned again in the scriptures, as far as I can remember. He's kind of forgotten, right? How many of you guys are kind of worried because you've had a great time with Pastor Ash, but he's retiring, right? And there's a little tension. There's always a little tension because it doesn't matter what church, what size you're in, you're always kind of worried about, you know, what's going to happen to us. What does our future bode? And what's going to happen next? And that is terrifying. Good. I get trying. Did you want to add some more?
Yeah.
No. How about no? No. Infinity. No infinity. Okay. So, yeah, I'm used to kids. I've had three. Of course, my youngest is 30 now. But anyway, besides that, let's not get me sidetracked because I can get easily sidetracked. So here we are. You're in Wellsville. You're in one of those places. Please forgive me. If you're going to, please don't have any stones or vegetables. You're kind of in a place that you can't get there from here, right? A little worried about those kinds of things, right? You're worried that you're going to get forgotten. That's one of the reasons I come out and I preach when a congregation has either lost their pastor to a call, or in this case, Pastor Ash is retiring. Because this community of believers is important to you. That's why you're sitting in the pews, correct? That's why the first question I ask is so important. When did God's relationship begin with you? You see, I don't think the 120 disciples, those who were following Christ, including the inner circle of those, now the 12 with Matthias, I don't think they grasped that either at this point. As in our gospel lesson for today, they didn't know yet what the Holy Spirit was going to reveal to them. And they had to be terrified themselves. All right, Jesus is resurrected. Now he's going to do the journey. He's going up. Wait a second. What do we do now? When they're standing looking up and angels go, "Why do you keep looking up?" Well, if I was one of the disciples, I'd say, because I want him to come back, because I don't know what to do next. The church is at that same cusp. Unsure, not knowing what was about to happen. And the only thing Peter could think of is, okay, we've got to replace Judas, because I know this psalm says that we're supposed to replace him. So let's ask God, praise, and they roll some dice. They have Matthias, and they have no idea that the day of Pentecost is only a few days away. Because on the day of Pentecost, what are they doing? They're doing the same thing they did after Jesus was resurrected, hiding, terrified. The day of Pentecost comes and everything changes. But I'll leave that for the day of Pentecost, June 8th, by the way. But let's go back to that first question, because I know it seems disconnected. But when did God's relationship begin with you as individuals? I know everybody always answers those questions. Well, when I was baptized, when I came to faith, when I was born, when I was conceived, and all of these kinds of things, and all of those make logical sense. Except there is this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Before the foundation of the world, before God said, let there be light," before he said those words, "before the foundation of the world, I called you to be redeemed by Christ Jesus." Your relationship with God began before he said, "let there be light." You see, we have this egocentric idea of our relationship to God. That's dependent upon us recognizing him, seeing him, acknowledging him, being baptized into him, all of those things. We're not supposed to be egocentric. We're supposed to be theocentric, God-centered. Do you know, what's your name, by the way? Eliana, do you know that before God said, let there be light, and created everything, he knew what your name would be, that you'd be sitting here, but most importantly, that he loved you enough for his son to die for you? Your relationship begins with God long before you've ever even heard of him, long before you were ever conceived. Think about that. You think God's going to forget you? If he thought of you before the foundation of the world, and that somehow is going to miss you in the midst and sea of humanity that he created? No. It always gives me great confidence and purpose when I realize that God called you and me before anything existed. Of course, it means there's a lot of theological things we could talk about how he saw that a man would fall and all those kinds of things. But those are for longer discussions. This is about a time of comfort that we all need to have and to know. In the same way as Matthias must have stood there and gone, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? All of a sudden I'm a disciple. One moment I'm just kind of following. Next time I'm in a circle. And a lot of us would be going, oh my goodness, I'm Barabbas and known as Justice. And God rejected me. I'm not part of the 12. Oh, by the way, tradition tells us that Barabbas, known as Justice, went off into Asia and founded all kinds of churches, continuing to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, and became one of the greatest evangelists of his time, except we didn't keep any of his writings. So he's not like Paul in front of us, but he did Pauline-type work, the tradition tells us. You see, what happens is we get worried and nervous like all the disciples did. What are we going to do, God? What is our purpose? Well, Jesus told them when they asked, are you now going to restore the kingdom of God? See, these questions have an important part. That's why I couldn't make them easier. Anyway, so, and he said, you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to all the ends of the earth. You see, God put together our churches. He put together places where his message of salvation can be proclaimed. Places where his word could be launched out into the greater world. God not only called us, but he also knew our needs and the needs of the church, and that he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies that church, right? As Luther explained in his third article, right? That we ourselves, churches, are built not upon human will, but upon God's direction. So as you step out into this, and I know you haven't had a perfect pass and a connection, that every call has been glorious. But God is with you. The church that you, the larger church that you belong to, needs to make sure that it's here for you. And you need to trust in God through whatever process it takes, that God is working through that process to bring the right person here. J. just as he had brought Pastor Ash here to help, to guide, and to strengthen this congregation to this point. Almost like God had a plan. He still has a plan for you and for me. The God who called you out of nothingness before the foundation of the world to be redeemed in his Son, Jesus Christ, also will take care of you. He took away your sins and brought you everlasting life through his Son's death and resurrection. He will guide you through this process. And he will guide the right person here to lead you forward into this world so that his word, the gospel itself, that Christ died with the sins of humanity, paid the price, was resurrected on the third day, so that all who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. This is the message of all churches everywhere, because it is God's message. And we are his church, whom he has gathered together. Just like he did those 120 that would explode into what we are now. Let us have faith. Let us have trust in the God who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And may this truly give us the peace of God that passes all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.